This is a very special episode for parents who might want to improve your relationship with your kids. Maybe you're struggling to understand them. Maybe they told you that they're gay or lesbian, bisexual or transgender, or some other words that may not make sense to you. And your faith community is telling you not to accept them as they are. But you know in your heart, something's just not right with that.
Would it be okay if I were to tell you that I am afraid someday, so I call you up and you call me down, would it be okay?
Well, hello and welcome once again to the Freed Hearts Podcast. We're so glad you're here with us today. Hi. We'll get this right one of these days. My name is Robert Cottrell. I'm here as always with the beautiful, amazing, just all around incredible human being,
Susan Cottrell. I assume you're talking about me.
I am, always. Again, we are here. We're so glad you're here. This is a very special episode today for parents who might want to improve your relationship with your kids. I don't know. That sounds like a good idea to me.
Yes, it does.
Maybe you're struggling to understand them. Maybe they may have told you that they're gay or lesbian or bisexual or transgender or queer or use other words that might not even make sense to you. And your faith community is telling you something different. They're telling you not to accept them as they are. And your kids are saying, but wait, hang on. I'm the same person I was. What do you mean I'm not welcome to the family dinner, or that my partner's not welcome, or you won't come to our wedding? You may have said, honestly, moms, dads, you may have said some pretty awful things. We all have done that. I know you love them, but you may be confused, and this is being fueled from what you have been taught or what you have heard or are hearing from your church and Christian friends. Your head may be spinning. I get it. We get it. Perhaps you're new to this podcast. Maybe, I think we have people listening today that have been sent this podcast by their children or by friends. So if you're new to this podcast, again, maybe your child or someone else that loves you sent it to you, and you're wondering what this is all about, thanks for being here. Thanks for your willingness to listen and to start this journey. And it's really great to have you with us. We talk to your kids every week. We talk to your kids. We hear from your kids every week. We help navigate family relationships that are often rocky or fractured. And they want to find peace. And they talk to us too. And if you're a regular listener, whether a parent or an LGBTQ person, we're glad you're here too. Listening to this podcast may make you feel a little bit nostalgic, sad for your parents, or sad about broken relationships, to hear what they're missing out on. You may feel like you should reach out to them and try to mend the relationship, but hang on, just don't right now. If they've drawn limits around you, around their embrace of you, you can't fix that. Don't continue to offer them something they've already rejected. We talk about how debating with people who are committed to misunderstanding you can be toxic for you. We want you to be safe and cared for, and we don't want you to do anything that will hurt you further. So let this give you some insight and on these broken family relationships, and then leave it up to them to respond. So, parents, I'm going to kind of turn this over to you, Susan, if you don't mind.
Sure.
This is coming right before Mother's Day.
Yes.
And so I want to turn this over to you a bit, and I will chime in only when I feel necessary.
Yes. Great.
Because I know you have a lot of wisdom to share.
So. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what do we do with a rocky relationship in our family? I don't want to talk today about the rightness or wrongness of being gay or transgender or pansexual or any of that, or the biblical passages. I do that often, but not today. Instead, I want to talk about the cost of the fractured relationship, not to your child. I do that often as well, but to you.
And we will do that next week.
But what is it costing you to have a damaged relationship with your child? That's what we can talk about today, because there's a lot of wisdom, as we know, in counting the cost of a project before you undertake it, so you can decide if that's a cost you are willing to pay. So what is the cost, the hidden cost to you of a fractured relationship with your child, with your family? That's what we'll talk about this episode. So I'm a mother have five kids.
Yay.
Rob and I have five kids together.
Thanks for including me in there.
Just make sure that, yes, they're all, we are the parents of those kids. And their ages 25 to 32, and we love them to the ends of the earth. And I'm sure you would say the same about yours. And many times over the years, I've had to see my own shortcomings, my failings as a mother. The kids have made their own mistakes, surely, yes, but I've made mistakes. And the power and the freedom come when I look at my mistakes, not theirs. Isn't that right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
To search your own soul frees you to heal the relationship. So that's what we're going to do today. So let's start at the beginning. When your babies were tiny.
I should have been prepared with sound effects. Again, this is when I need, I feel the need to chime in on these serious, heavy moments.
You did. You brought it in. So when your babies were tiny, how much did you love them?
Not.
And what would you have given to protect them? Yeah, and how much would you have fought someone who wanted to take them from you? I mean, any decent parent would say, I do anything to protect my kids. That's my job. And anyone who wants to hurt them has to go through me first. And don't even think about taking them from me. Wouldn't you say that? That's a normal, normal, healthy response of a parent who loves their child. Yet, family after family rejects their child because they're gay or transgender or whatever it is that they don't understand.
What a shift.
What a shift.
What a change from, from to get to my child, you have to go through me, to almost switching sides. I'm going to line myself up against my child.
Yes.
What a shift.
What a shift. And in addition, a lot of parents do that the same day their kid comes out. And you really have to be preconditioned to respond to react that quickly the same day. So how does that happen? And where did it shift from overnight, my dead body, will somebody hurt you, to you're no longer one of us? If you can, let that question just sit with you while we talk. What would you do to protect your kids? And what would someone have to do to take them from you? So I did a speaking tour in Australia about 5 years ago, and I met a lot of people. And I met one mom in particular who told me her story. She said, when my son told me he was gay, I had no problem with it. I knew it early on and I just thought that's who he is. Then I became a Christian and they told me that being gay is not okay. And if he won't stop being gay, I have to reject him. And I did. She said, the relationship is over. I now see that I was wrong. I never should have rejected him, but it's too late. I've tried to reconcile, but he wants nothing to do with me. Man, the sadness was overwhelming.
Yeah, I mean, we know as parents the impact of our words and our actions on our kids. They always are huge.
Huge. Bigger than we know.
But when a child takes that bold step to say, Mom or Dad, I'm gay, and they're rejected for that, those wounds, those are deep. Deep wounds.
Deep wounds. And it's interesting. 3 years later, I went on that same speaking tour and I saw that same woman again. And nothing had changed except she looked older and sadder. Yeah. How could this happen? She gave away her son, her treasured son, because her faith leader told her that's what God wanted. You really want to be careful what you do with your treasure. So how did giving away our child become not only acceptable, but required in so many of our faith communities? And where is that faith leader now? Is he there to help clean up this disaster? Oh no, he's moved on to other families and this woman is on her own. So that's what I came to realize. It's faith leaders who ask this of parents to reject their children, but they're not there when it goes bad, as it inevitably will.
Well, it's almost a trap because they say that you need to reject your child.
Yes.
They won't phrase it that way. Keep in mind, parents, if you're listening, you won't hear that. You won't often hear words like reject or condemn or shame or bully or hate, or, but that's how it's received by your child, just so you know.
Yeah, they will say it's a sin and you can't accept it.
Yes,
which,
yes.
If you can't accept it, then you're rejecting it.
Yeah, yes. But, and then what happens when the impact of that starts to have an effect, if you even question whether or not you made the right choice, then you are shunned and rejected by the faith leader. So, so you have to just comply. And then if in the future you say, well, wait a second, can you explain that? Can you? Then just raising your hand to ask a question is not acceptable.
Yes, that's right.
So you are alone in that.
Yeah. And we had to make this decision 11 years ago when one of our kids came out and then another one of our kids came out. So 2 out of 5. And do you remember my closest friends at church said, it's a sin and you can't accept it.
And that was their first response.
That was their first response and only response. And I was amazed by that. Like they wanted me to push my children away.
They're like the Stepford Friends.
Yeah.
They're programmed to respond.
Yes.
And in this situation, the heart, the compassion, the humanity just goes out the window.
Yes.
And with so many other situations that you were having any kind of struggle with a child, you would think the first response was, oh my gosh, tell me what's going on.
Yeah. How are you doing?
Yeah. But that's not. It's like, well, it's a sin. You can't accept it.
Yeah. There was actually no other conversation about how are you doing? How's your child doing? None of that. It was amazing. And what is the end game to that? Mm. What do they think will happen? Do they think the kid will change their mind, say, okay, you're right, I'm straight, I'm cisgender? Because that doesn't happen. That's the thing, that they don't have a choice about it. So kicking them out doesn't make them change their mind. And, you know, remember that if you're from a Christian perspective and you're really on the right path, then your yoke is easy and your burden is light. But to reject your child is horrible. It's horrible. It's not easy or light at all. And how much anguish have you been in because of this fractured relationship? And is it worth it?
Yeah, that's how I often will describe my own journey in this, is when I had my faith and I had my love for our daughter. And those two things were never in conflict. Again, the burden was light.
Yeah.
There. And then all of a sudden she comes out, and there's this conflict and there's this heaviness and this weight when I'm faced with or taught that there is a conflict in those two things. So that is a huge red flag that, no, wait a second, you're off track here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And what's the ultimate hope? Mm. What is your plan when you move into your older years? I mean, you and I, honey, are about to turn 62.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are.
Hang on, I need to take a nap. Oh, wait, no, I just got up from a nap. That's right.
So, and we see where this train is headed. You know, someday it'll go from two of us to one of us to none of us.
I thought you were going, this train is headed like through Europe somewhere.
I'm going there first.
And then, I'm sorry, from two of us to none of us. I know. That's interesting.
It's like, you know, wow. That's where we're going. And how do we want that to be? And, you know, I sometimes listen to the words of people near the end. I find that really interesting as a guidepost. And people never say, you know, I wish I had fractured that relationship. I wish I hadn't kept my kids in my life. No, not at all. They say, I wish I hadn't alienated my kids. I wish I'd just let them be. I wish I'd been more loving. So one thing that helps us maintain our vitality in the later years, I'm reading on this too, is to have community and relationship. And that's usually our children or our grandchildren. They're an anchor in our lives, aren't they?
Yeah.
I mean, we're planning ahead here, but our children have told us they plan for us to live with them.
Are you listening, kids?
Well, they told us,
you're right. Yeah.
That when we're too old to live alone, that we can live with them. And where else would we want to be? Where else would we want to be? A nursing home? No offense to nursing homes, but I'd rather be with the kids. And as you get old, if you're estranged from your children, will your pastor be there? Will he welcome you to live with his family in your 80s? No. And all those friends who said you can't accept your child, will they be there? No.
Well, and would you want to hang around with them?
And would you want to live with them?
Yeah.
And be with them in community? Yeah,
hopefully you don't cross the line all of a sudden that you're not acceptable
anymore. Exactly. Yeah. You saw what they did to your child.
Well, they did that. Again, many parents out there listening to this, it's a different type of rejection, of course, but we were, not only did our old Christian community tell us that we had to reject our children, but when we did not do that, they rejected us.
Yes.
So we then crossed the line.
Yeah.
And yes, yeah.
Yeah. And, I think when you sit alone in your rocker with nobody around, will you say, well, that was worth it? I don't think so. So if you're in a tough spot with your children, if you've said, we won't welcome your partner, we won't come to your wedding, you can't come to family events because grandma will be uncomfortable or die of a heart attack or any of that, please.
Yeah, We've heard that.
Please, please fix it.
Yeah, I would say you got to, like you said, stop. And what, in one of your videos, you talk about whether or not you should go to your gay child's wedding, and of course you should. And one thing you say is that the message you think it will send is not the message it will send, and you will regret that.
Yes.
Someday as you look, decades in the future at wedding photos and you're not there.
Right.
You will regret that. And so.
And you think the message it will send is that you're this faithful, godly Christian. It does not send that message.
No.
It says you're unloving.
And so as these things, as you're faced, mom and dad, with these things about, welcoming a partner or attending a wedding or including a partner in a family dinner, just say yes.
Yes.
You'll never regret that.
Yeah.
You'll never regret the inclusion, the being part of that, the keeping, the family together. But so stop and think about that,
And do you remember always saying that what a gift your child is? Don't we consider our children gifts from God? And, God didn't say, here's your child. If you don't like him, just trash him. No, God said, this is a gift. This is the exact child for you. Now, what are you going to do with them? And so I encourage you to fix the relationship, heal it. It's up to you to do that.
Yeah, we often say too that God's got this, God's got your child, God's got you. And we say, err on the side of love and trust God with everything else.
Yeah.
What we all need to hear, what your child needs to hear, regardless of who they are, more than anything else in this world, is that they are beloved.
Yeah.
They are loved. And if you, mom and dad, aren't conveying that, honestly, who will in their life? I mean, I think it causes kids to wonder, is love real? Am I worthy of that? Am I deserving of that kind of love?
We'll talk more next time about that cost to them.
Yeah. Sorry.
But that's exactly right.
Yeah.
That's your primary job as a parent.
Yeah.
It's to convey unconditional love to them.
Yeah. So do you have some steps here?
Yeah. So if you find yourself in this situation, I've got some simple steps for you. Number one is think about where this train is headed. Here's a hint. It's not headed to, they're going to change and be straight if I just hold out. That place doesn't exist. It's headed to a place far, far from your child. So you have to decide if that's where you really want to be. Number two. Imagine what the relationship could be like if you just let that part of them be. Embrace the partner, go to the wedding, have everyone for dinner. Just let it be. Try that for 6 months or a year and just see how it feels. And by then, you'll be in love with both of them and you'll be saying, problem, what problem? And that is as it should be. Number three. Ask in prayer what the Spirit wants you to do. When parents in our groups have done this, they were amazed by the answers they got. They heard, just love. Don't try to change your child. I didn't tell you to change them. You just love them and I'll take care of the rest. Try that and see what happens. It's about letting go of that speck in someone else's eye and instead asking the spirit to remove the plank in your own eye. Try it and see what happens. Number four, what about your deeply held religious beliefs? I'll tell you what to do. You do a deep dive into what it means to love. After all, that is the great command.
Yeah, that's the deepest held religious belief.
Yeah, it should be.
Yeah, it should
yeah.
be.
Yeah. And it covers all the rest. So how do you love well? Don't take some pastor's advice or priest's advice for this. Remember, he won't be there to pick up the pieces, to be your family, to offer you a place to live in your old age. No, this is between you and God. Let God show you what love looks like.
And the and Jesus said that your pastor leads us in all truth, right?
right. I'll send you a helper, your pastor, to lead you in all truth. No.
No, so the Spirit.
Yeah, I'll send you a helper, the advocate, the Spirit who will lead you in all truth.
You can trust your heart.
Yeah, you can trust God to speak to your heart. Mm-hmm. So when you hear something loving in there, it's from the Spirit. So.
Which reminds me of 1 Corinthians 13, yeah?
Yeah.
What does that look like?
That's right. So
talk about loving well.
That's right.
And we turn to 1 Corinthians 13.
Yeah, and it says love is patient and kind and long-suffering and doesn't keep records of wrongs and all those things. Make that list and ask the Spirit to show you how to love. Love that looks like 1 Corinthians 13. And make a list of the fruit of the Spirit, the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-mastery. Is that the fruit of your relationship with your child? No? Then make a change. Let that be your plumb line. When we're responding to the Spirit, that's the fruit we'll get.
And again, the key here is not, I mean, I can almost hear some of you think, well, wait a minute, my child is not that way. That's not,
yeah,
you can't.
Your focus has to be on you.
Yeah, just you alone.
You.
It has to be on you alone.
Yeah. That's right. And number five, let this experience grow you into a more loving, kind, compassionate, understanding human being. Everything our faith asks of us in the first place. Isn't that what hardships come into our life for? Is so we can grow in wisdom and compassion and love. And I know it's always easier to blame the other person for the breakdown in the relationship. But I think we know in our hearts it doesn't work that way. You have to make the change.
I think especially in this situation where this the fracture in this relationship is because just developed simply because your child revealed to you that they're not straight.
Right. Right.
And so that this sounds harsh, but that's on you, mom and dad.
Yeah.
They're I mean, as parents, as people have done this work for nearly a decade.
Yeah.
As both ordained pastors who have really pressed into this and pressed into the scripture on this, you know, they're just being true to who they are. And as parents, what more would we want is for our kids to live true, authentic lives.
Right.
It's who they are. The difficulty you may have with this, as hard as it may be to hear, it's on you.
Yeah. And even if you have things against your child, like, well, they didn't tell us, they should have told us, or, you know, they brought their girlfriend on vacation, we thought it was just a friend. None of that matters. What matters is, are you loving? You know, people like to think they're going to give an account when they die for how they were. Well, are you loving? Can you give an account for how loving you are or are not?
Okay. Number six.
Number six, engage with your child in an understanding way. Now, this advice comes from Peter, and it's in regard to husbands and wives, but I think it's on point for any relationship that seek first to understand and go have coffee and don't talk about their orientation or their identity. There are 1,000 other things to talk about. Listen to their story and their experience. Become curious. Don't trample into their heads and rearrange the furniture. That's not your job. They didn't invite you in for that. Just sit gently on the sofa and receive what they have to offer with gratitude. Remember, this child, this person is a gift, not a project, not a broken thing to fix.
Especially too, I think, when you have a situation here that your child has revealed something to you that is new and that you don't understand and you have so yep. many questions, the very best thing you can do there is to listen
yep.
and learn
yes.
and be a sponge to everything, not to just respond so quickly. Yeah, this is new.
Because when you're responding quickly, you're responding to things based on things in your head, mm-hmm. not to the child in front of you.
Yeah.
Number 7, give thanks for your child. Give thanks that they are LGBTQ. Give thanks for this opportunity for you to learn how to love beyond anything you've learned before. You'll be amazed at the beauty that flows from that.
Yeah, and mom
seriously.
And mom and dad, if you come from a more traditional evangelical Christian faith and you've raised your child that way, they know the risk. They probably heard it either directly or indirectly in a variety of places.
What happens to kids who come out?
Yeah, and so for them to be brave enough and strong enough to make the choice to live true to who they are and then to tell you, well done, mom and dad, you've raised an incredibly strong child.
Yeah.
So give thanks for that. I mean, that's an amazing child.
Yes. You know, and all of this reveals what is in you. Your response to your child reveals what's in you. If someone bumps into you while you're holding a cup of coffee.
Hang on. Just at that moment, I happen to be sipping a cup of coffee. So
you do.
That was a real sound effect. That wasn't phone sound effect.
It was.
Someone said, I forget exactly the phrase, but, oh, Rob, you're the king of sound effects. I thought, wow, if that's all it took.
That's awesome.
A free awesome. App on my phone.
They also say how funny you are.
Oh, well,
you are.
Stop. Don't stop.
You're awesome.
Don't
and
stop.
You have a sexy voice. A gay man told us you have a sexy voice, which I love. I love that.
Call
a
me.
Friend. Call me.
Okay. I'm sorry. Go back.
Well, I want to tell this little story. Yeah. It's a little analogy here that if someone bumps into you and you're holding a cup of coffee and the coffee spills out, and then someone says, well, why did you spill coffee? You'd say, well, someone bumped into me. But really, you spilled coffee because coffee was in the cup. If you'd had tea, you'd have spilled tea when you were bumped. The bumping only revealed what was in the cup. So what is spilling over from you when life bumps you? Remember, this is the child you love from the very beginning. And now if their orientation or their identity bumps you and rejection spills out or silent treatment spills out, or I'm sorry, I can't deal with this right now, spills out, that's because it was in the cup. But if they bump you and love spills out, if understanding and compassion spill out, that's because they're in the cup. So what's in your cup? And your job with God is to say, help me have the right things in my cup.
Yeah. And so much we've talked about things like patriarchy and misogyny and a rules-based versus a relationship-based church and spiritually abusive church. And so if you're a first-time listener, go back and listen to some other episodes, if you would. But we have started to learn and understand a lot more of what that kind of faith that really doesn't have anything to do with God, but that kind of faith and religion puts in our cup. And this is very interesting because we may not know that until we get bumped, you know? And so this can be a gift to you as well, because it's like, wow, I didn't know my cup was full.
Right.
Of that kind of rejection, of that kind of condemnation, of that kind of
judgment.
We went through that, you know, and all of a sudden our cup is bumped, and and unconditional love does not come out. It's very revealing.
Yeah, and our focus always in our faith is to be what's in our cup. That's always our focus. It should be our focus, not, you know, don't bump my cup, really.
And as we, as it's revealed, as we learn that maybe it's not love, that's why we often say err on the side of love. Some, if that's not what's come, what's naturally coming out of your cup that's been bumped, you'll have to make that choice to err on the side of love and trust God with everything else. I promise you, I promise you, you will never regret doing that.
Yes, yes.
Never regret doing that.
Yeah. So can I just recap these real quick?
Yeah.
I think it would be helpful. So, because we kind of went over them and listen again. But number one is think about where this train is headed and is that where you want to be? Number two is embrace the relationship and just set aside the stuff you don't care for and try it for 6 months or a year and see what happens. Number three, ask in prayer what the Spirit wants from you, not them, but you, and see what happens. Number four is set aside your religious beliefs that you think are in the way of this and instead pick up that biggest religious belief, which is love God and love others, and everything else will line up under that. And start, you know, and look to 1 Corinthians 13 and the fruit of the Spirit, both of those for your guidance on what that should look like. Number five, let this experience grow you to be more kind, loving, compassionate, have the aroma of Christ, and see what happens. Number six, become curious about your child and engage with them in an understanding way. Listen to their experience. Number seven, give thanks for your child. Give thanks for this opportunity to learn how to grow and to learn how to love. That's what I was going to say a minute ago, is that, you know, Jesus says, anybody can love your enemies. Anybody can love your friends. It's when things get tough. It's when somebody comes in front of you that you aren't happy with, that you love. That's where you learn to love. Loving people you already like is easy. So,
and if you're,
watch out for what's in your cup. Just let this reveal what's in your cup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you're new here, or if you've been here a while, please reach out to us. We have resources and online vibrant support community for moms and for dads, and also Chosen Family Community for LGBTQ.
Yeah.
Just contact us at freedhearts.org. If you have questions or something you'd like us to talk about or answer here on the podcast, you can email us podcast@freedhearts.org.
Or if you just have questions you want us to answer in an email, we will.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
It doesn't mean you'll go on the podcast.
Yeah. So next week, we're going to turn the tables a bit. We talked today about broken family and what the cost is to parents. Next week, we're going to turn the tables and look at what a broken family relationship costs someone who is part of the LGBTQ community, what it costs our kids. So we love you. Thank you so much for listening. We love you. Remember to love above all else, and that you are beloved. And we will talk to you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Would it be okay if I were to tell you that I am afraid someday? So I call you up and you call me down. Would it be okay?
You've been listening to the Freed Hearts Podcast. We have extensive resources and vibrant community for you at www.freedhearts.org. Just come say hello. And if you have questions or issues or comments about the podcast, things you'd like us to talk about, reach out to us at podcast@freedhearts.org. The music is provided by Hannah Cottrell, our daughter, the Grammy-nominated Saint Sinner. And you can find out more about her at heysaintsinner.com. Please share this, subscribe, and follow on your favorite platform. And thanks for listening.